You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
Morning, everyone. Anyone a little sleepy today? Been hearing lots of stories of people up past midnight last night, so it's a little bit briefer today for our sermon time, so hopefully that helps you if you're feeling a little bit sleepy. But let's start with this. I know you're all dying to hear an update about James's first Bulls game. We had a really good time. I mentioned this last week, and you know, I felt responsibility taking him to his first Bulls game to really show him the sights and the sounds and everything that is a Bulls game. So parked right on Madison there, came in, so we made sure that we saw the Michael Jordan statue right at the start, right? Got to stop there, make our way through the atrium inside. I know where I'm going, right to the 6 championship trophies, right? Got to show him the trophies, make sure he sees that, make sure he understands what that is. He's nodding his head right now. He knows what's up. We head our way into the big fandemonium shop right there. Start looking at the jerseys, all that stuff. And I can see on his face, he's getting what this is all about. So we make our way all the way up to the 300 level to our seats. And this is a moment for me. Anytime I go to sport, I was telling Sarah, I was like, I'm giddy about this. Like, I still get excited about games. Walking through that tunnel and seeing the court for the first time. So I know that this is his first time doing it. And so I position myself in a way to see his face as he comes out, and it's everything I hoped it would be. The game is going, and warm-ups, and I'm like, okay, so that's Chuck Swirsky, and he's, I'm giving him every single person and player, and he's noticing green shoes on Zach LaVine. It's so much fun. And I think at the end of it, he was a bigger fan than he was in the beginning, and that was part of it. I mean, we wanted to have a good time. I wanted to show him everything about it, but I wanted him and his basketball, his Bulls fandom, to grow by the end of it. And it's a weird way of saying it, but I'm saying it on purpose here. In a way, I was discipling James into his Bulls fandom. And you say, that's kind of weird, because when we say disciple, we're usually talking about Jesus. Well, the word disciple means follower of. And I think sometimes we complicate that word, or we just use that word, disciple, without thinking about what it was. And that's what I was doing that night, helping James become more of a follower of the Bulls, showing him who the Bulls were through every single step. And when we talk about being a disciple of Jesus, or making disciples of Jesus, it's helping other people see what we see about who God is. And you see me intentionally do that on Friday night with James and taking him to the game and making sure I'm explaining it and showing it. It's such a personal and intentional process. Here's my question for you as you start 2023. Are you personally and intentionally helping other people become followers of Jesus? Do you have the idea of disciple making on your radar as you head into the year? Who are you being intentional with? Who are you showing actively who Jesus is? What can you point to show the investment of time that it takes to show someone and help them understand that? Turn your Bibles to Matthew 28. It's a really familiar passage, but I want to start here as we start the year. Next week, we're going to be starting a series through the book of Luke, and it's going to be a totally different thing. But as we talk about the new year and approach the new year, I want to just sort of put this as a priority, as top, overlaying the whole year and how we see it. Right now, you're probably thinking about new routines and new habits. You're putting things into your schedule, new calendars, all these things. In the midst of that, please do not miss the imperative nature of what it means to make disciples. Before we jump into the passage, I want you to notice in your sermon notes that you have a blank line at the top of your paper. That blank line is the name of the person or people that you want to intentionally disciple this year in 2023. don't fill it out now, but I put it at the top of your paper because I think that God could put that name on your heart, in your mind. His Spirit could bring that to mind as we go through the passage and as we talk about what it means to make disciples. And as you think about that person or those people, I want you to write it down during the sermon. So let's look at these verses together. Starting in verse 16, Matthew 28, it says this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. I want to stop there right now real fast. We get from this 11 disciples gathering together, really quick, cool point about this. These are Jesus's people. These are the ones that he poured into intentionally, that he took time with intentionally to show them that this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is what it means to follow me in it. So we spend a ton of time talking to them and showing them what that means. But what really sticks out about these verses is it says that some of them worshiped him, but others doubted. Just something to write down or keep in your head as we talk about discipleship today. Discipleship doesn't mean that you're at a place that you have every single thing worked out. If you feel like, well, I couldn't disciple someone else because I still have questions or I still have things that I'm working through, Jesus is about to tell these people to go make disciples, and it comes to a people who it says some of them had doubts. So you can erase that as a reason of I'm not the right person or I'm not ready or I could never do. Like, no, actually, these people here, they did have doubts here. And that's coming to a people that just witnessed the most amazing thing that's ever happened in the history of the world, the resurrection of Jesus. And still, I mean, they're standing in front of Jesus. These people have doubts. Look at verse 18. It says, and Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now listen, he just proved that by raising from the dead, yeah? Yeah. But it's also been something that we've been studying for the last month or so as we've seen the authority that's in Jesus. As we looked 2 weeks ago at John 1, in the beginning was the Word. This is God in flesh, all authority of who God is. And God has well established himself as the authority of all the world. He says, all authority has been given to me. You know, it matters when someone with authority says something, right? I want you to picture for a second that you're in the airport. Some of you, this is a very recent memory for you. Okay, traveling for the holidays. Let's say you're in the airport, right? And you're sitting at your gate and you're waiting to get on the plane. And a McDonald's worker comes up to you and from the airport and he says, listen, I've been looking at the weather forecast. I wouldn't fly today. You're like, you know what? Why don't you go back to your post at McDonald's and I'm going to come get a breakfast sandwich from you, but I'm going to take my flight still. But if the pilot came up to you and said, listen, I've been looking at the weather forecast today. I won't get on that flight today. I'm not getting on that flight today. Right? Why? He has authority to say something, and you listen to it. Because of his authority, it gives grounds to make life-altering commands into your life and what you do and don't do. And so there is weight behind these words as he speaks. We've said this before, and I just want to say it again. Authority is not bad. Authority becomes bad when the character is corrupt. But authority in itself is good and established by God for our good and for our benefit. And here Jesus doesn't shy away from saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He wants you to feel the weight of it. He wants you to feel the authority in it because of everything that comes afterwards. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now, go, therefore, we could talk about that. That's not telling you to do something that you're not already doing. You know, that's not saying, okay, now change everything that you're doing and I need you to, you know, you were heading this way, now I'm asking you to go this way. It's saying as you're already going, with what you're doing and as you're living, with the jobs that you have, with the people that you mingle with the neighborhoods that you live, with the stores that you go to. Go, therefore, and it says, make disciples. Now, when we get to that word make, that's where things change, because that word is an imperative and it's a command. That's where everything about his authority is saying, this here, you must do. You must make disciples. Hear me on this. Making disciples is just what Christians do. It's not for just church leaders. It's not for, you know, the adults. It's not for the people who have been well established in their faith for so many years. It's just part of the nature of what a follower of Jesus does. So what does that mean when Jesus says to make disciples? We'll go back to my example of James for a second. Go make learners of Jesus. Go help people understand what it means to follow Jesus. Go show them, take them, and show them who Jesus is through the way that you live and how you speak intentionally. Now, that sounds time-consuming, doesn't it? Here's another question for you. Do you have margin in your life, in your day, for that kind of discipleship? Keep in mind, it's an imperative command from the authority who has authority in all heaven and on earth. We're supposed to be actively, intentionally going to make disciples, going to show people what it looks like to follow Jesus. So what does that look like? Great question. I'm glad I asked it with all of us. Mark Dever says this in his book on discipleship. He says, according to the Bible, a disciple of Christ disciples others by helping them follow Christ. It's how you exercise your influence. I thought that was really a key word there. It's how you exercise your influence. How are you influencing other people to see and follow Jesus in your life? Talk about our mission statement out on the wall, and it's proclaim the truth of Jesus and grow, mature what? Disciples. Like what we've said on our wall here and what we talk about, we're like, this is so core. This is who we are and this is what we do. This is just what we do. We use influence. We use our life. We show people. We take people to say, this is what it means to follow Jesus. But it requires us to look intentionally at it and how we do it. I want to look at two things that Jesus shows here in this passage about making disciples. First of all, he shows that it's a priority. The fact that he makes it an imperative command, he shows that it's an actual real thing that you are supposed to be doing as a follower of Jesus. It's not just for church leadership or people who seem to have it all together. Everyone should be able to look at their life, I think, from this passage, and see a priority in two ways. One, that you are making it a priority to show other people Jesus and how to follow Jesus. And I would also say to that I think everyone should be looking to learn from someone else what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And you're never too old for that, to be looking for wisdom from someone else, but to make it a priority in your life. I don't know why we don't do this as intentionally as we should. When I say we, I don't just mean Bethel. It seems like we as Western world, maybe, like we focus so much on our schedules and we think, well, maybe people will notice that I don't swear, or people will notice that I'm, it's like, is that what Jesus meant about going making disciples? Is that how intentional we're supposed to be? I was having dinner with one of our missionaries, and I'm not going to say his name for his own safety and protection, but someone on our wall over here. And I was asking him about what discipleship was like where he's at. And he says, and it's dangerous for people to come to Christ here. He says, when they come to Christ, we start meeting every single week to show them what it means to follow Jesus. And there's like a course that they go through. And I'm like thinking in my head, like, oh, probably no one shows up to that. It's like on a Saturday. And he's like, no, it's packed. Okay. So tell me, like, what's this curriculum that you take them through? He's like, we read the Bible. All right, tell me more about like what, so what's the end goal? You know, like what happens when they get to the end? He's like, well, it's not really like the end goal. It's like 4 or 5 weeks in, they're actually released out into their workplace for, we actually start requiring them at week 4 to start making their own disciples. Because they have enough after 4 weeks that they should be, and so then those people start inviting other people in. And they start showing them what it means to follow Christ. And I'm like, man, there's probably people that go their whole Christian life without ever doing that one time. Are we, like, making disciples that way as a priority in that way? What I see from this is Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. I see a priority and an emphasis. But I also see it in the way that he lived his ministry. You see that he's here with his 11 disciples, right? That's pretty interesting. He did it himself. How did he do it? He like lived with these people and shared meals with these people, spent time with these people. Which really leads to our second point about discipleship that I see through this is that it's personal. Discipleship is personal. You can see that through Jesus' relationship with the 11. You can see that even as you read through the Gospels, he had a special relationship with Peter, James, and John, right? And you see him pulling them aside and showing them what it means to follow his commands. It's been very personal. Do you learn differently when you have a personal relationship with someone and they're showing you? What might be different if you go out regularly with someone and you're able to tell them how you've overcome things in your prayer life and become a better prayer, or you help people understand how you understand this passage in the Bible? Or how might it be different if you invite someone into your home and they see your family and they see Christ-centered within your home? Personal means everything in discipleship. Do you think James had a different experience with the bulls because I was personally with him? Versus if he was just there maybe with a huge group of people and no one was deliberately talking to him and showing him and saying, hey, I need to show you this. You have to see this. I love seeing this. I want you to know this. And it's the same way with discipleship. It's so personal. You're taking someone through and you're like, you got to know this about God. Let me tell you this testimony about what God did in my life here. Let me show you what this is like. Let me show you Christian community. Let me show you family. Let me show you how Jesus changes everything about my heart and my life. That's discipleship, and it's personal. If you're a parent, you already have your discipleship orders. Your number one priority in discipleship is as personal as raising the humans that you see every single day. Biblically, that is your number one assignment, and you do it in such a personal way. It's as you're eating and sleeping and walking and going and everything, you're showing them what it means as you wrestle through doubts in your life, as you go through the valleys of hard times in your life. Your kids are watching and they're listening. Let me tell you something. You are discipling your kids towards something. You're showing them to be a follower of something. Is it Jesus? To put your hope, as we heard about, and trust in Jesus, or something else? Jesus was eating and traveling and living with his disciples. What would it look like for you in 2023 if you already have a name up on the top of your paper to do that with someone so intentionally? All right, the passage goes on and says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. We've talked about disciple or baptism before. Here's what we get from baptism. This is implying that some of our discipleship is with people who do not yet know Jesus. If you gravitate towards discipleship, sometimes our quickest reflex is to disciple the people who already know Jesus. That's necessary and needed. Like as a pastor, like, I care deeply about that, right? And shepherding and caring for people in that way. But don't get, some of the command is baptizing them as well, which means they don't know Jesus yet. And part of the discipleship in showing them is them becoming followers of Jesus and understanding and being baptized. Some of the part of discipleship should be with people who do not know him yet. Sometimes that'll happen where someone comes to church and accepts Jesus. But I think so often this happens best when you go outside these walls. And you're showing people outside these walls what it looks like to follow Jesus. Listen, we could go around and we could tell stories about how we've done that. But if you have questions about what it looks like to show people who don't know Jesus, man, like I think about talk to the Rivera family, Angel and Beth. I've seen it over and over how many times they invite people into their home. Talk to the Shirk family. Talk to Randy and Linda about how they lead their business and how they conduct that in a way that is Christ-honoring and they're able to glorify God in that. There's so many examples, and there's others that we could give here today. There's so many examples of ways that we've seen the body do that. But that's part of our discipleship, is to the person who does not know Jesus. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Such a theme in the whole Bible. If you've been with us the last 5 weeks or so, we've seen the words of God, the words of God, follow the words of God, obey the words of God. What would it look like to show someone what it looks like to live that out? I think it's best, goes back to it being personal, when someone else has walked that road before and they can show you that. I wanted to tie a bow tie forever. I was in a wedding. I couldn't tie it. Had a bow tie. Stressing out about it. Now, don't tell me just go watch a YouTube video, because I did. I watched all of them. And I still couldn't figure it out. But you know who figured it out? Sarah Shoemaker figured it out. And then she's able to stand with me, and she's able to, okay, so when they talk about that fold, this is what they mean. And she's showing me that. It's so different to have someone with me, showing me, nope, that's where you messed up, right there. You're supposed to go that way instead of this way. That's discipleship. Someone who's walked that road before and is like, listen, I know you think that this is best, but this is what it looks like to follow his commands in your life here. I know it's scary. Let me tell you about where it's scary for me. Let me tell you about the time that God did this for me. So, do you see it? It's so personal. One more thing on this, like, I think sometimes we can get into the rut of depending on programs to do this for us. Listen, I love programs. I've been part of planning programs in the church forever. Programs play a role in discipleship, but they miss so much of the personal part of discipleship that comes when you make it a priority in your everyday life. When you're taking people with you, and you're sitting next to them at the game, and you're pointing it out, and you're helping them understand what's happening. So I encourage you to do this and to think about who you'll disciple. The passage closes with saying, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. All right, hold up. If you're scared or you're nervous or you don't think you know what you're doing, like, join the club. But the good news is that God is with you as you do it. Like, that's a promise that you can hold on to. That's really good news. Is you're intimidated. What are they going to think of me? Or what if they deny me? Or if you're worried about, you know, the eye rolls that you're going to get from your kids as you try to do this with them. Like, God is with you as you do this. He's the only one that can bring fruit. So you can walk in confidence towards that. It matters this coming year. We're going to have a bunch of other things that we study, a bunch of things that we focus on, a bunch of ways to live out and follow God. But laying over top of all that, the priority, the emphasis that Jesus says of go make disciples, go make followers, go tell them about me, go show other people about me. Make it a priority in your life, in your schedule. Make it personal in your life and in your schedule. And I hope by now you have a name or names at the top. And if you don't, pray about that this week and see who God might bring to mind. Let's pray now. God, we are so mindful of your goodness in our life and what you've given us. And so, God, we ask that you would bring opportunities for us to disciple, give us discernment, and show us very clearly who you would have us disciple in ways that glorify you. So God, we give you the honor and praise for all these things. Thank you that you go with us as we do it too. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.